So, I guess continuing the theme of then God kind of surprising us, and I guess Craig didn't expect that kind of worship set, and yeah, just what I had for today, I just don't have an amen in my heart that it's for today, it's for another day. I know I'll be preaching on it eventually, but so just even coming up here, I just thought, where is that psalm? And thinking about fearfully and wonderfully made, and I opened my Bible, and there it is, Psalm 139. So I can just read a little bit. O Lord, you've searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before, and you've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. You saw, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. Or different translations say actually there, how precious of me, or how precious concerning me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Verses 19 to 21, those verses always kind of get me, verses like that in the Psalms, but I want to read them. This is God's word. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Wow. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. If you could understand all the thoughts that God has concerning you, all the ways he thinks about you, all the times he thinks about you, how his eyes are fixated on you because he loves you. He ordained your days of life. He created you in your inmost being, meaning your soul, the very essence of who you are. He created you and he knit you together in your mother's womb. So when I say that he loves your personality, when he loves the way he's made you, it's because he designed you exactly like he wants you to be. He designed you exactly like he wants you to be. He loves your quirks. He put them there. He loves your little nuances and your uniqueness. He made you that way. And then he showered down gifts on us. and good deeds for us, like we're learning in Ephesians, good deeds that are set apart for us since the foundation of the world, before the world began, these good deeds, these actions, these things that we're called to walk in were laid out before us. Like parents getting ready for a newborn, they start getting the clothes ready, they buy the clothes, they paint the room, they get the crib. They buy little socks and little booties, and oh, won't this be great? These are just for them. These are just for him. These are just for her. God made things for us before we were even born. My prayer from the very beginning, I can't remember when I didn't have this prayer. Before Emmanuel Grace, before St. Anne's, before Thailand, before Haiti, I think. When I was in my teens even, when I knew what calling was on my life. This prayer of, I just want everyone to become everything that they're meant to be. And I don't want any of us to try and be the person next to us. I don't want you to try and walk in my gifting, and I don't want to try and walk in your gifting. I don't want to try and have your personality, and please don't try to have my personality. Don't try and mold yourself and craft yourself into someone else's image, something you see in someone else. Celebrate what you see in each other. We need to celebrate what we see in each other, but not try to be each other. You are uniquely you. You are uniquely you. You know, you see these little ones walking around, and those of us who have bigger ones, well, our bigger ones used to be little ones as well. And they're all so unique. Even siblings, right? The siblings are so unique. They might have similarities, but they're so unique. God wants us all to be exactly what he created us to be. No more and no less. No more and no less. You do not have to be more than what you're called to be. You do not have to be bigger than you are called to be. You don't have to have a bigger ministry than you are called to have. But no less. Not settling for less than what he's called you to have, what he's called you to walk in. And again, even when I say calling, I think sometimes there's a reality in Scripture where we are servants, absolutely. Paul introduces some of his letters. Paul, a bondservant of Christ. There is that reality. But sometimes I think we start thinking along those lines a little bit too much, and we just think we're a means to an end. You know, the way some employers treat their employees. Not all, praise God. There's some really good employers out there. A lot. Many, many, many. But some employers treat their employees as just a means to an end. You're just a number. You're just a social insurance number. That's all you are. And you're my way to get a little bit more wealthy. That's all you are. But then there's employers that are good employers, and they care for their employees, and you're a person, you know. But back to God, sometimes I think people fall into this place of, well, I'm just a servant. Maybe I'm just speaking for myself. Sometimes I used to fall into that. I'm just a vessel. And almost like God is like, well, if I can't use that vessel, I'll just find another one. Whatever. Who cares? A vessel is a vessel is a vessel. No, we're not just servants. We're not slaves. We're not just vessels. We are children of God. And he knit us together exactly like he wanted us to be. You know, I'm going to pick on Larry a little bit. I see him, yeah, just, what? Why? Because I love you. Praying for those with the gift of giving. Oh, darn, put that out there. Oh, well, you can cut that. No, just kidding. And it's this place of, you know, I see Larry and what he shared in the sharing time, and just this place of this beautiful, and I love it because you don't think of yourself like this way, which is part of your absolute beauty in the Lord. This beautiful humility and this reservedness, this caution, It's quietness and yet strength mixed together. And I could do this for each one of you, right? And it's just, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's wonderful. It's amazing. And I celebrate it. And Lil, you know, from what you shared there before too, I celebrate the way God's made you. I love that when I ask, does anyone have anything to share? And there's a little bit of silence for a little bit of time. I know I can just look over to Lil. And I can just look at her for a little while. And I know that she is determined. Nope, I'm not going to be the first to share. And I'll just keep staring at her. And eventually it just bubbles up out of her. And she can't contain it. That's of God. And yeah, you're right. God wants to refine you. God wants to help you grow. God wants to bring a little bit of brake pedal into your life, if you will. Absolutely. So I affirm all those things as well. But you're not supposed to become Larry. And Larry's not supposed to become Lily. And neither of you are supposed to become me. And none of you are supposed to become me. And none of you are supposed to become the person sitting next to you. I wrote a song when Tyler was first born. And one of the lines in there, you know, when we first become parents, we were joking about it yesterday, the first sign of my strength, to use a biblical phrase, you know. Tyler is the first sign of my strength. But there's a line in the song, how can I tell how beautiful you are? Do you know you're all beautiful? And I know that for us as guys, that might sound a little weird, but it's not. Do you know how beautiful you are? Do you know the eyes that God has for you? I know I've shared this before, but I think realizing it is such a key to walking in what God wants you to walk in, and to life and joy and peace and contentment and effectiveness. Understanding that you are beautiful. Now, not the way the world says it. The world, oh, you're beautiful just the way you are. But what they include in that is all our sin as well. And all of our sinful decisions and turning away from God. And the world says to each other, oh, you're beautiful. No, that's wrong. And we all have stuff that God wants to work out in our lives and free us from. But you know what? They have a little bit of it right. There's some truth to it. Like the ways of the enemy, often there's truth mixed with falsehood. There's truth mixed with lies. But there's some truth to what they say. Talked about dancing during worship. Some of you have coordination and can dance absolutely beautifully. Absolutely wonderfully. Some of you do not have hardly any coordination at all. And that's okay. That's more than okay. It's actually beautiful. Some of us have been given voices. I think some voices that are in this room are some of the best voices I've ever heard. One in particular. Hiding behind a little easel back there, over there. And some of us do not have what the world would call beautiful voices. But that's okay. It's more than okay. It's beautiful. We each have strengths that the others don't. At one point in Scripture, it talks about the sun and the moon and the stars. And the sun has one kind of glory, and the moon has another kind of glory, and the stars have another kind of glory. You think about all the variety of life just springing up right now. in springtime. Finally, it's spring, right? And you see the buds, and you see the peach blossoms, and the cherry blossoms, and the plum blossoms, and the apricots, and you see the flowers starting to come out and peek their heads. I was walking the other day, I saw a trillium, and I haven't seen one of those for so long. So beautiful. And then you've got a majestic tree right next to it. Thick, thick trunk, you know. Almost immovable, it seems. You are made exactly like God wanted you to be made. And I just long for you, oh, not just to accept it. To accept it is too weak of a word. I long for you to celebrate it. Again, not going over into the other ditch, of giving yourself license for things that need to be worked out and worked through. That's not what we're talking about. I can't remember when it happened in my life where I stopped trying to be someone I'm not. Where I stopped concentrating on the things that I didn't have and that were absent in my personality. And where I just started celebrating who I actually am. And I don't think that journey is over. I think I have a little bit further to go. But as that has grown in my life, I've then also been able to see God in others a lot more easily and celebrate them, celebrate you. And when I look at you, I don't see what you're lacking. I see what you have. I love the verse, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God." But I like the other translation of it, and I'm no Hebrew scholar, so I don't know which is correct. But how precious to me, or how precious concerning me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. And when God thinks of us, he thinks of all he created in us. And any good parent does the same thing. Right? We have a lot of wonderful mothers in this congregation, in this little group, this small, tiny group. We have a lot of absolutely wonderful mothers. When you look at your children, do you look at what's wrong with them? Do you look at where they are deficient? I know actually a lot of parents do, and that makes me sad. I think of dads. I'm a dad, so I think of the dads. The dads sometimes are more guilty of this. A dad who was a star athlete in his glory high school days expects his son to be a star athlete, but the son likes books, likes science, likes art, and the father just can't get over it. That's so sad. I praise God that I don't see that in us, in any of us at all, actually. I love that. When a parent, when a mom, and moms, I think you have that's part of that. God has a mother's heart, if you will. Like, your mother's heart comes from God. Let me put it that way, because I don't want people to get confused and start accusing of Mother Earth and all this kind of stuff. No, he's our father. It says very clearly, that's how he presents himself. But your mother's heart, that soft, tender heart that loves unconditionally and no matter what. The mother's heart that is like, you know, the phrase, now I want to be clear here, I'm not saying this to anyone, but that phrase, "Oh, that person has a face only a mother could love." And it's true. In that the mother, every single mother thinks their child is the most beautiful child. And that's the way it should be. That heart that looks at your child and celebrates every little victory and truly celebrates it from the depth of their being, that's how God looks at you. That's how God looks at us. And his thoughts about us are constant. His thoughts about us are constant and are beautiful. Now, he's not naive. He also understands our shortcomings and our failures and the things that we need to work through. But understand this, our shortcomings and our failures have nothing to do with the personality that he has given us and the giftings that he has given us. It has nothing to do with your personality mix, introvert, extrovert, loud, quiet, your likes and your dislikes, your flamboyance or your plainness. Has nothing to do with any of that. He loves all of that. And his thoughts of you are pretty constant. And once you understand that and realize that and accept it and celebrate it, there is freedom like you've never known. There is such joy and such contentment. I never felt in my life that I had to live up to other people's expectations. I don't think other people put that on me. I can't remember, at least, anyone ever doing that. I put expectations on myself, false expectations. When I was finally set free from that, oh my goodness, I could soar. I could soar on wings like eagles. I could fly. He loves the way he made you. He loves the way he made you. You need to hear that. He loves the way he made you. He absolutely loves the way he made you. You're so unique. And you're such a masterpiece. And you fit perfectly in to the family. You fit perfectly in. You fit perfectly into the plans that he has. And I don't mean in such a way where, oh, I can use you. No, come, I have a place for you. It's perfect. Made just for you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I've shared before how one of the things that we said in our home as the boys were growing up constantly is Tyler has to be Tyler, Andrew has to be Andrew, Jesse has to be Jesse. I love that God made the three of our boys so different. I think parenting would have been a little bit more difficult if they were more similar, because then you start comparing and maybe, I don't know, but we never had that problem because they're so different. And I love it. I love how each of you is different. And I celebrate it. And I want to pray that, oh, again, not just acceptance. I want to pray that ability to celebrate yourself. That sounds so worldly. Forgive me. I'm not phrasing it properly because I don't want to sound like Dr. Phil. Nothing against Dr. Phil if he ever listens to this. I don't want to sound like a motivational speaker. Just love yourself. It's all about you. No. I you know that that's not my heart. There's too much of that out there. Really, I guess what it comes down to is I want you to celebrate how God has made you. For many of us, it's easy to celebrate how God has made someone else. hard for us to celebrate how he's made myself, right? Because you see all your warts and you see all your stuff. And so I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray that, first of all, that there would be a discernment, a wisdom to be able to separate the personal and the things that God knit together and the stuff that has to be worked through in our life. You know. But I also, for the stuff that needs to be worked through, I pray grace on us. Be gracious with yourself. Be merciful to yourself. Be as gracious to yourself and as merciful on yourself as you will be on others. Okay? Unless you have a problem with judging others, then be more merciful than that. But I want to pray that separation, and then I want to pray that celebration of God. A celebration of God and who he's made you to be. So I'm going to pray that, and then I'll ask if there's any questions or comments. Lord God, I pray this blessing. First of all, I pray for the blessing of discernment, Lord God, to be able to see what needs to be worked through and what doesn't, actually. There's some things that we think need to be worked through that actually don't need to be worked through. And I pray for the discernment of that. And I pray as we even discern some of the things that do need to be worked through, I pray a blessing of grace on each of us here. And those who aren't here right now, those who are part of the Emmanuel Grace family, I pray a blessing of having grace on themselves and mercy on themselves. Forgiveness, kindness, gentleness with self. And then I pray a blessing of celebration. We celebrate. I celebrate. I dance. You give me feet to dance. I dance, Lord, before you. Celebrate first and foremost who you are, and then who you've created me to be, and then who you've created us to be. I celebrate the fact that we're made in your image. And none of us on our own can tell your story completely. None of us. You are loud and boisterous, and you are quiet and contemplative. You are the life of the party, and you are the one who enjoys just sitting in the corner on your own and just watching people. You are full of humor. All kinds of humor. You obviously, in your word, you reveal that you love wordplay. You love puns. And you love a good joke. Even when you explain the ostrich in the book of Job, you can see your delight in watching the ostrich run. And there's a little bit of laughter in you. Oh God, I pray that we would celebrate. I pray the blessing of being able to celebrate who you've created us to be. And the uniqueness. I pray that blessing of celebration and thanks on us. And yeah, also along with that celebration, I guess then, yeah, that word acceptance keeps coming to my head. I pray that blessing of acceptance. Just accepting it, beautifully accepting it. I just see, actually, as I pray that, I see a picture of someone accepting a gift, and sometimes it's hard, especially when it's such a generous gift. And we try, no, you shouldn't. And then finally coming to that place of, okay, thank you. I pray that blessing over you. that you would be able to thank God for how he has made you. And just accept it. Just accept the fact you're beautiful. Just accept the fact that you are wonderful because he made you, not because of yourself, because of him. Because he made you that way. So accept the fact that you are a masterpiece. And again, you know my heart when I say that. I pray that blessing. And Lord God, I know that there might be others listening online eventually to this. And so I pray this for them because they don't know my heart. They don't know our heart here. I just want to speak it out. I pray against all the cliches. This is not a cliche. And I pray against this idea of a self-help kind of motivational talk. This is not that. This is not a pump up our own tires kind of thing. I just want to speak that out for anyone who would listen online. This is a celebrating God's handiwork. And humbly accepting the fact that you are part of that glorious handiwork. And he has made you exactly like he wants you to be. Finally, I pray a blessing to become everything that God has made you to be. To live up to the calling that you have received. Tyler, can I share a little bit? I know you just. As a parent, and as many of you, you pray for your kids, right? And you start seeing the uniqueness, how God made them. And I remember Tyler and I forget the first time I said this to you, but you were a lot younger. So maybe when you were 10 or even younger than that. And I said to him, you're made for joy. Now, that saying that is kind of like what we were praying about and talking about before about the giftings. We're all called to encourage, but then some have the gift of encouragement. We're all called to give, but some have the gift of giving. We're all called to, and you could go through all of them. We're all called to be hospitable, and yet some have the gift of hospitality. We're all called to joy. And then yet some, I think, have that deeper revelation of it, that deeper place, that deeper, I don't know how to say it. I'm not saying it well. But I remember saying to you, you're called to joy, and you're called to spread joy, right? And I pray the same thing I pray for Tyler, I pray for all of us, and like for him specifically in this area, plus other areas. Like I pray that he would become everything that he is meant to be, and so that he could be that display of joy, that he could first experience that place of joy and then display it, and it pours out from him. And I pray the same for all of us in the unique way that God has made you. In the unique reflection, you get this picture of the light shining through a prism and all the different colors coming through. You know, we got the flags waving and all the different colors. And we've taught before how those different colors, and they tell a story of the different characteristics of God and the different aspects of God and God's prophetic plan for us as a people and for us as the world and all of this. And it's almost like we're each different colors. How many colors are there? And even in the seven colors of the rainbow, how many different shades of color are there? How many different shades of purple are there, those who love purple? I see your family like wearing three or four different shades today, or five or six, and even Ellie's joined in. She's got her own shade of purple. How many different shades? How many different shades of red? How many different yellows are there? You look outside and our world is turning green again because of spring. How many different greens are there? You are unique. And whatever God spoke over you, this is one of my prayers. This is one of those prayers that's been on my lips for a long time. Whatever God spoke over you as he was knitting you to get you together in your mother's womb, I pray that you would walk that out and display it marvelously and gloriously, fully, completely, in all holiness and love, in all the character of God. You walk that out. I pray that you would be everything that he called you to be. And I pray that you'd celebrate it. Are there any questions or comments?
I woke up with the song, Who You Say I Am. So you fit so well.
So good. Okay, I'm going to pick on Morgan now. No, who, me? We're family. You have a prophetic gifting. Oh, I hope that wasn't prophetic. Little, oh, Kira. You have a prophetic gifting, and I know we prayed for different people with prophetic gifting last week. But I also know that your personality is, again, one of these where I don't want to say I'm a prophet. Who am I to say I'm a prophet? Who am I to declare that? Who am I to walk in that? But that's who you are. And I pray that you would accept that fully. And I know you are more and more. It's so awesome watching. I love it. And I celebrate it. I celebrate it. And we celebrate it. That you'd walk in it more and more. And it's not this prideful thing of, okay, I'm a prophet. No. And I love that you'll never do that. At least I can't see you ever doing that. I can't see you ever walking that out. This place of, yeah. You know what? I am a prophet. And I want to grow in it. And I celebrate it. Thank you, Jesus. Now, that's just the gifting part. You know? Then you got the personality and all these kinds of things in all of us. But yeah, may you celebrate it. Yeah. Any other questions or comments? If not, I'll point someone else out. No, I'm just kidding. Judy.
Years ago, I took a Bible study called Experiencing God, and two of the phrases that they encourage us to memorize, and the two that have really stuck with me is, "I am who God says I am, and I can do what God says I can do."
Amen.
And so, even like if you turn that around, it's like, If God says this is what I am, this is what I am. It's not negotiable. And if God says I can do this, then yes, I can do it. And so it's that place of, okay, it's all God.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to agree with him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And one thing to that, like, and I know you're not saying it this way, but I just know us. It's I really in my heart, I see it, and I don't want it to be a, okay, I agree with it. I want it to be, oh, I celebrate it. Thank you. It's looking in the mirror and saying, you know what? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. That's good. Not looking in the mirror and being proud. Looking in the mirror and saying, yeah. Thank you. That's good. May we speak that to each other. Because maybe that's how it becomes easier to accept it and celebrate it. Speak that out to each other. Parents, speak that over your children. I don't care whether your children are young or old. Speak that over your children, whether they're in the house or out of the house already, whether they have kids of their own. Speak it over your children and your grandchildren. Speak it over each other as friends, as family in the body of Christ. Yeah. Anything else? Anyone else? Good. Did you, could you lead that song that your mom said, I am who you say I am? That'd be awesome. I think that will be on online, Car. It won't be in there. It might be.
Check, check, check. Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Child of God,
surprise.